You're listening to Therapy for Your Money, a podcast about all things money and finance for therapy practice owners. If you want to feel confident and in control of your financial life, then you've come to the right spot. I'm your host, Julie Harris. I'm an accountant and the owner of Green Oak Accounting. My firm specializes in working with private practices across the U.S., and my team and I have worked with hundreds of private practice owners. I'm on a mission to share all the best practices I've learned along the way because I want you to have a profitable private practice. My book, Profit First for Therapists, is finally available for pre-sale. I am so excited about this book. I've poured my heart and soul into it, and I've shared every tip and trick that I've got on how to implement Profit First in private practice. I've taken the tried and true Profit First system and really, really customized it to the industry. In this book, though, I'm not just giving you Profit First. I also included things like scaling your practice, team compensation, paying down debt. So there's a whole lot of other things that are helpful for starting or growing your practice and really all around financial literacy for practice owners. I also have a lot of fun bonuses available for you if you pre-order before May 2nd. If you go to profitfirstfortherapists.com, you'll get all the details. There's a link to pre-order the book now, and you'll also be able to redeem your bonuses. There are things like early access to all of our tools and templates that are in the book. And if you buy 3 books or more, there are additional bonuses available to you as well. You'll also be entered into a raffle where you can win a Profit First strategy session with me, Julie Harris. You can find the book at most online retailers like Amazon and Barnes & Noble as well. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy for Your Money. Today, we're talking about creating a profitable personal brand as a therapist. And I am joined by Megan Meganson, who is a licensed therapist, seven-figure entrepreneur, and business coach for therapists. Hey, Megan, how are you?
Julie, I am great, and I am just totally delighted to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Me too. We were just looking back in the archives, and you were on the podcast in 2021, so 2 years ago in season one. It's really good to have you back as a repeat guest.
Well, and congrats, you're still doing it. I mean, how amazing 2 years later this podcast is thriving.
That is a good point. And maybe it's just because
perseverance.
Just keep going. Right. Just keep moving.
That's right.
But this is a fun creative part of my day, and I enjoy doing it. So Megan, let's talk about personal branding. First, I would like to say, can you define personal brand for us? I think that's a good place to start.
Absolutely. So a personal brand is a business that is based on you. It's based on your personality, your values, and most importantly, your subject matter expertise or your specialty area. So it's a business where you are showing up as your authentic self. You are talking about things that matter to you. You are speaking to people that you love and care about, and you're differentiating yourself by saying, I'm an expert in this area. I'm an expert on this specific thing. Brené Brown is a really famous example of a therapist with a personal brand. Esther Perel is another great example. So if you need something to orient your thinking around, I always encourage my clients to think about Brené or think about Esther. Like this is what we're working towards.
So is this where maybe you're shifting from therapy into something different or doing it alongside? Like how does that work?
You can do it either way. So when I work with clients in Next Level Therapist, which is my coaching program, I always encourage people to start where they're at. So if you're in private practice right now, let's look at how you can weave more personality into your private practice. Let's look at how you can step away from the blank slate persona and make your private practice a pedestal on which you get to say, hey, this is who I am. This is who I serve. This is what I do. Eventually, many therapists decide that they want to branch out beyond private practice and they want to create a separate business. This business is often you're providing coaching or consulting or thought leadership. And in that business, you can do and sell whatever you want. The possibilities are endless. So either way, you can have a personal brand in private practice or beyond private practice or both. It just depends on where you are developmentally and what you're feeling called to do.
Okay. So I want to go back to something you said a second ago, blank slate therapist. Mm-hmm. That's such an interesting term. Can you expand?
Absolutely. This is a concept that therapists are taught in graduate school, right? Therapists are taught that you are supposed to be a blank slate upon which your clients can project all of their thoughts and feelings. So old school therapy models literally told therapists, don't bring yourself into the room. right? Mm. Don't bring your personality into the room. Don't bring your stories into the room. Don't bring your feelings into the room. Like, you exist as an entity that is there to support your client, and there's no space for you in that relationship. And we know that that's just a load of bull. Like, yeah. that is like old school way of thinking. It's an oppressive way of thinking. And it's a way of thinking that it leads many therapists to experiencing emotional and energetic burnout, because it's hard. It's hard showing up in a job every day where you are not allowed to be yourself. So I'm kind of here to say, hey, if not being self-expressed, if not being authentic is wearing you down, and if it's holding you back from realizing your biggest purpose on this planet, shed the blank slate persona and start showing up in your practices more of who you actually are.
Yeah. I would tend to imagine that even if you're doing that as a side business, like, just being your authentic self in your private practice will probably tend to attract more of your ideal client, doesn't it?
Yep. 100%. When you start being courageously authentic in your business, not only do you begin to attract more people who like who you are and who want to hang out with the person that you actually are, but you start developing a bit more boldness in being able to say unapologetically, this is what I want to talk about in my work. This is the kind of work that I want to do. So becoming self-expressed is really just the starting point for creating a burnout-proof business that is creative and inspired and exciting. For me, it's the only way to be a therapist.
Yeah. Well, and how does this relate to personal healing?
Well, many therapists, so we go to graduate school and we're taught all of these things in graduate school, right? We're taught, like, be a blank slate therapist. The work's not about you. The work's about your clients. Don't be selfish. But there's a reason that therapists go to those kind of graduate programs in the first place. And it's because many of us grew up in families where we also really weren't allowed to be courageously authentic. You know, we were told, be quiet, be small. You're too much. You're too smart. You're too shiny. You don't fit in here. So many therapists have spent their entire lives feeling like they have been hiding who they really are on the inside. It's no surprise then that we step into careers that asks us to continue doing what we've always done. So when we commit to becoming more self-expressed in our private practices as therapists, not only are we revolutionizing the oppressive nature of the therapy field for therapists, but we're also healing all of our own family trauma around not being allowed to be seen. It's really incredibly powerful.
That's incredible. Well, so let's move into some, you know, some nitty gritty, but like, what are some tips that you might have for us for creating a profitable personal brand?
Yeah. So I think there are three components that make up a really beautiful, profitable personal brand. The first we've already mentioned: courageous authenticity. Are you willing to courageously step into the spotlight to say, this is who I am. This is my personality. These are my values. So we want to first be courageously authentic. The next thing that we want is to create genuine relationships, right? Personal brands are all about relationship building. It's not about throwing $100,000 into Facebook ads or showing up on Instagram every day or doing anything that feels inauthentic or sleazy. It really is about showing people who you are and then pulling people into your world who feel connected to you and letting genuine relationships be the currency of the business that you're creating. And the third thing is compelling storytelling, because if you have a personal brand, what you're doing is stepping into the world saying, hey, I have some stories to share and I'm going to tell them to you in captivating and compelling ways. And storytelling is a skill that we can all learn. So don't panic if you're listening to this and you're like, I have no idea how to storytell, or I'm not charismatic at all. Those are skills that we can learn. But when you show up as yourself, when you are open to genuine relationships, and when you learn how to tell stories in a compelling way that connect back to your message and the work that you're doing, bam, you have just created the stew of a really beautiful and successful, profitable personal brand.
So I'm on your email list, and we were chatting about this before we started recording, and I can see all of this just in, I'm seeing it in your email list because I've been on for years. And every time I get an email from you, I think like, oh, Megan is a really good writer. And this also feels very much like you. You're not trying to be anyone else. You're not trying to be like Brené or like any, it's just, this is Megan. This is what, who you are and what you get. And so, okay. So how are some of the ways that you can monetize a personal brand?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So it depends if you are operating within your private practice or within a separate business beyond private practice. Let's start there, because I think that's what many therapists are really excited to explore, is what are my options beyond private practice? Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, the options are endless. You could create group coaching programs. You could be a consultant. You could create online courses or workbooks. You could host retreats. You could be paid to speak or to write. These are all examples of how you can monetize the business that you create that is based on your personality, your values, your subject matter expertise.
Well, and so as examples, you said workbooks, so maybe some public speaking. Like, is that something that someone should do within their existing business, or do you have any recommendations, like as far as legalities or being careful about selling non-therapy services within your practice?
Yeah. So that's a really big, robust, complicated conversation.
Yes.
it's complicated because it's only gray area. There are no black or white rules about what you are and are not allowed to sell as a therapist. What you have to do is measure all of your decisions against your ethical code of conduct. And we have to make sure with integrity that we are not selling therapy when we're not really providing therapy. So if you want to stay within the confines of your existing private practice, you just have to make sure that whatever you sell doesn't violate any of your ethical rules as a therapist. And the best way to do that is to offer things that are either completely passive, like a workbook or a small online course. Or if you want to do something live, you could do a psychoeducational workshop where you're not interacting directly with clients. Because we don't want people to think they're getting therapy with us when they're really getting something else. So if you want to start within your private practice, and this is actually what I teach a next level therapist, to like, let's pick an option that you can first do within your private practice so that you can have some experience creating something that's not therapy, selling something that's not therapy, and seeing if you even like it. Do you even like business building in this way? So maybe we start with a psychoeducational workshop. If you do that and you love it and you're like, I am ready. I want to do coaching. I want to host a retreat. I want to do something totally outside of the box. That's a really great point to step into a second business because you've tested the waters and you know it's a place that you want to swim.
Yeah. And obviously I get this question a lot from an accounting perspective, right? And just from the numbers side, the IRS does not care if you do therapy and something non-therapy related within the same business, right? So from a tax and compliance standpoint, it doesn't matter there, but where it typically does matter, as you mentioned, is the ethical side and sometimes the legal side as well, right? So if you have though a second business that you've decided with your attorney, with your advisory team, then you do have to have a separate tax return, separate records, right? Separate bank accounts, separate credit cards, but it's not a requirement from an accounting perspective. I thought I would just add that.
It's so, what you're saying is so important. And it is all about the ethical restrictions, right? The reality is therapists are extremely limited in what they are allowed to do per the rules of their licensing boards. So it is about, am I staying in compliance with my licensing board? Because you don't want to do something within your private practice that puts your license at risk.
Right.
You don't want to jeopardize your license. You don't want to end up in front of the ethical board because a client's made a complaint against you. So when we say it's time to create a separate business, you're exactly right. It's not because the IRS wants you to create a separate business. It's because you are protecting your therapy license. And when you make that choice to create the separate business, everything is separate. Your tax returns are separate. Your bank accounts are separate. Your websites are separate. Your email accounts are separate. So it does add more labor in terms of what you're having to do to run and operate two completely distinct businesses. And honestly, it's a huge pain Nobody yeah. likes doing it. We wish that we could simplify and do it all together, but because we are bound by the restrictions of our licensure boards, we have to keep things clear and separate to avoid consumers being confused about right. which part of us they're getting. We don't want a consumer to be confused about if they're working with me as a therapist or as a coach. So the yeah. more separate we can make things, the clearer that's going to be to potential clients that we work with in either capacity.
And I think that ends up being a benefit to many therapists in many ways, right? Because of the ethical viewpoints, you usually are going to have to separate a business a little bit earlier than maybe someone in another industry. But then when you're running two true businesses side by side, right? Everything separate. Then if one day you say, you know what, I am just really loving one of these businesses much more than the other. I would like to continue here. And maybe I'm going to sell this other business. Mm-hmm. That's a lot easier to do when you're not commingling all of the things, right? Because we yeah. see that in other industries where, you know, everything is kind of intermingled, and trying to untangle that just to even be able to get an appropriate profit and loss and balance sheet to potential buyers is really, really hard. And so, you know, that is one of the few advantages.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And you know, it's, even though it's more work, like keeping things separate, it's clearer for your clients. It's also clearer for you. You know, it yeah. helps you as the business owner know, how am I showing up right now? Am I showing up as therapist, or am I showing up as thought leader? Am I showing up as teacher? Am I showing up as coach? You know, we want to be clear what the boundaries and expectations of our roles are in these different spaces as well. So, you know, as they say, clear is kind. Being clear about the distinction between these two businesses, it's kind to yourself, it's kind to your clients. And even though it's a pain in the butt, there are a lot of benefits, like you just listed.
I would also argue it's easier to see if you're making money or not, right? Is something yes. just a passion that you're excited about? Maybe you're speaking in the community because it's something that you enjoy doing, but is mm-hmm. it actually making you money? Because I think you should always follow your passion, but it's an important consideration before you maybe jump over all the way. Like, are you able to sustain your life this mm-hmm. way?
And just shout out to you and the work that your team does. It is so important, if you are someone who's going to run multiple businesses, that you have a rock solid accountant behind yeah. you that can help you understand the financial reality of having two practices, and can help you, you know, analyze the number of both businesses and have these financial conversations. Because, you know, it's, I'm certainly, this doesn't come naturally to me talking about money in the ways that you just listed, but I am very happy to pay people to help me interpret this information and to help me know, for example, maybe your private practice is an S corp, but it makes more sense for your second business to be a sole prop. And having somebody on the back end that can help you make those decisions for both businesses is such a gift, so that you can stay in your creative zone of genius. Yeah. As the entrepreneur, and let the money people handle the money stuff.
Handle the money. Look at the full big picture. I always think it's helpful when there's one person who sees all the things too, right? Instead of like one accountant doing this one over this business, mm-hmm. one accountant doing this other business. No. We're doing our own personal taxes. Like, have one person who's seeing everything advice. Because there's just a lot more complexity mm-hmm. there. And we don't know what we don't see, right? If we can see the whole big picture, that is really helpful information. Usually
it's also why it's important to, you know, if you're working with a business coach or a consultant who's helping you with a second business, that you're working with someone who's willing to look at all of your businesses together. You know, you're working with someone who understands the therapy landscape, who understands the distinction between your private practice and your second business. I mean, what you're saying is so important, that the people you bring on your team can help you hold your entire ecosystem in one big view. Because the second you start hiring different people for different businesses, it gets so confusing, and there's just too many cooks in the kitchen mm. and you're getting conflicting advice and conflicting information, and it just gets chaotic really quickly. I love that you said that, Julie, like, hire the right people who can help you with everything that you have happening in your world.
All the things. Yeah. So we're recording this during tax season for accountants. And so one thing that my team and I are kind of wrestling with right now is, for most of our clients, I would say we do both the monthly accounting, right? The bookkeeping, the CFO services, and tax. But we have some clients where we do just one and not the other. So maybe we don't do the tax preparation. And this time of year, that's when we see like, oh, there's a lot of cooks in this kitchen, right? We might not be fully aligned with this other accountant. There's a lot of schools of thought on how exactly you should do things. And there's a lot of gray in this area as well. Mm-hmm. Like, we think it should be this way. We think it should be that way. And that just creates a lot more friction where then the business owners in between. So that's top of mind for me, because that is that time of year, season.
Right. And these are things therapists don't think about. So just having these reminders from experts like you, it's really helpful, and it kind of guides us towards the path that really is going to support us most holistically, so that we don't waste time, energy, and money splitting our attention between a dozen different professionals. Yeah. It's not necessary.
Yeah. All right, Megan, I've got a big question for you. What is your favorite business book and why?
Oh, I love this question. And I'm really passionate about my favorite business book. It is Deep Work by Cal Newport. This is a book that I read after I read Essentialism, which is my second favorite business book. And Deep Work really helped me understand how my genius and my greatest contribution in my professional life can only be realized if I have space to focus. I have space to envision and dream and write and create without a dozen distractions. And it really helped inspire me to, you know, reduce the number of clients that I was working with and prioritize my time in a completely different way. And it has, I really do just credit Deep Work and everything that I did as a result of reading that book for a lot of the deep rest and wild success that I have created in my life today. So 10 out of 10, five-star Amazon review. Check it out.
That seems very aligned with the person that you are. So, okay. I have a technical question then related to Deep Work. Do you time block your email? Do you only look once a day? Like, 'cause I feel like email is the piece that I need most deep work with, like I need to shut off. And I have been doing that, but it's hard. It's very difficult.
It is so hard. So pro tip, this is not an affiliate link. I use a program called Boomerang for Gmail. And Boomerang does a lot of cool things, but my favorite thing that it does is it allows you to pause your inbox, and it allows you to put your inbox on a schedule. So I tell my emails, you can only come into my inbox at this time and this time, Monday through Friday. Saturday and Sunday, no emails come through at all. Because I don't know about you, Julie, but I am a compulsive email checker. It's a very bad habit. Like, I will just pick up my phone and open my email, and I don't even notice that I've done it. So I had to pause my email so that if I do compulsively check on accident, there's nothing there to distract me. So I do try to limit the number of times I look at my inbox every day. But more importantly than that, I pick time in my schedule every week when I am shutting everything down to focus on deep work. I find 3 hours to be a really helpful block of time for me. It's enough time for me to kind of settle in, regulate my nervous system, focus on something, get into it, get a big chunk of work done, and then come out of it at the end with some space to breathe and move around before I transition into the next thing. So I try to do at least one block of deep work per week, more if possible. And then once a quarter, once every other quarter, I like to get away for what I call a deep work retreat, which is where I book an Airbnb for myself for 3 nights. And I have 2 days where I do nothing but deep focused work. And it has been such a game changer, and it's so much fun. So just a little.
It does sound like fun. It's so great. Because you're away from like all your regular responsibilities, right? There's no cleaning, no dishes, no nothing. So you just get the work done. I love it.
That's right. It's like, what creative thing am I working on right now? Am I creating a new training? Am I writing? If I'm trying to write a piece, am I trying to write a series of emails? Am I trying to finish some curriculum? Whatever the case may be, am I writing copy for a new website? Like whatever big project you're working on right now, sometimes I just have to get away and unplug from everything and allow myself to be fully immersed in the creativity of that project, so that I can make meaningful progress towards the finish line. And that's, it's been a really great strategy for me.
Very cool. I use Boomerang in other ways, so I might give that a try.
Try the pause. It's so powerful.
All right. I will have to do that. So Megan, if any of our listeners are interested in finding out more about all the things you do, working with you, you've got a couple of freebies for us, right?
I do. Thanks for asking, Julie. So two things I'd love to offer your listeners today. If you're feeling kind of magnetically drawn to this conversation around personal branding and bringing more of your courageously authentic self into your business, I would love to share with you my personality power pack, which is a lesson I pulled straight from Next Level Therapist. It's a 5-step guide to discover your authentic personality and become unapologetically self-expressed in your private practice. And you can download that at personalitypowerpack.com. And the second thing, I would love to invite your listeners to join me at my writing group, which I host every Thursday. Every Thursday morning, I host a writing group called Express Yourself, with the sole intention of coming together, focusing deep work style on expressing ourselves. I share a prompt. We have 30 minutes to write together as a community, to express ourselves, to say whatever it is we need to say. And then for 20 minutes at the end, we reflect and connect. And it's a really beautiful space. And it's a great way to kind of get your hands dirty in this process of self-expression if you need some community and some accountability to step into that world. So you can register for that at expressyourselfstudio.com. And I would love to have you there if you want to join.
Perfect. And we will add those links to the show notes as well. And I want to mention, we're going to put your book recommendations in our bookshelf. We now have on the Therapy for Your Money website, a bookshelf where you can find all the recommended books.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many really good ones.
I have a feeling I'm about to go down a rabbit hole.
We needed a list. So those will get added to the list. Megan, awesome. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Julie, thank you. This was so fun and I can't wait to do it again soon.
If you're looking for accounting help, head over to therapyforyourmoney.com/accounting to find information about my accounting firm and all of our specialized services just for private practice owners. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes, click on ratings and reviews, and give us a quick shout out. We really appreciate it.
The information contained in this podcast represents the host and guest's general opinions and should not be construed as personalized accounting and tax advice. Listeners should consider all facts and circumstances before applying this information and seek appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. Any info provided does not constitute accounting, tax, or legal advice.